And for Bloom's Day, that day dedicated to coursing through the heart of the Hibernian metropolis, we take to the streets in a pandemic-friendly style. Culturefile's Áine Gallagher, who lives close by Leopold Bloom's house on Eccles Street, has been rambling, mic and phone in hand, the Ulysses Way, with a mind to taking in the public art mentioned in the book, all the time commentating and rambling with me at the base station here at Culturefile Towers.
I am looking for number 76 Eccles Street, number 4, where Leopold Bloom is living, so where his day begins, is directly opposite number 76, but is now the Mater Hospital, so it's not there anymore.
I guess a lot of these things will be sort of disappeared, like that they will only exist in the book.
Okay, 76. Yeah, it's a nice corner of the street. St. George's Church and Hardwick Place, just opposite, which he references as reflecting the sun, I think. But today it's a bit grey, cloudy. I think what's funny, I guess, about reading Ulysses is that many of the locations are trapped in those pages and they don't really exist now, whereas the statues, most of them are in existence still, but some have been moved. So they still hold this significance and actuality. So they're historical, really, whereas a lot of Ulysses would be deemed to be fiction. A lot of the statues are sitting on O'Connell Street. And I mean, when I was trying to think about the statues before I laid out this plan, I was really struggling to remember who was where, who was who.
We're going to see in a minute when we go down there and you go down there how they strike a contemporary pedestrian like yourself.
So I'll take Dorset Street, which I'm on now. The only fictional shop owner was on Dorset Street, and it's a butcher's where Leopold Bloom buys the kidneys that he eats for breakfast.
If you wanted to get kidneys on Dorset Street, where would you go now?
Ooh.
You don't buy a lot of kidneys yourself, then.
I don't. I've never purchased a kidney. I think I'd be a bit loath to purchase one from Dorset Street, to be honest.
The thing about Ulysses is it's sort of a reading into the record of all the sort of history of the streets, like the streets becoming part of history, whereas with statuary in general, what you're trying to do is make sure that history appears in the streets.
Bloom talks about this end of the street as being the dead side of the street. Dull business by day, at night too, chummies and slavies under the patronage of the late Father Matthew. Well, it still is the dull end of the street, I think. Father Matthew was the apostle of temperance.
They're sort of trolling the population there by putting a famous teetotal temperance leader in the middle of O'Connell Street. Doesn't seem like a natural home for him.
It doesn't, know, but I think that's one of the reasons these statues can stay here is because people don't actually know these things about them, isn't it?
Mm.
Continuing down O'Connell Street, heading south, and I'm getting to a statue which I think is going to be Sir John Gray, proprietor of the Freeman's Journal, chairman of the Dublin Corporation Waterworks Committee 1863 to 1875, during which period, preeminently through his exertions, the Vartry water supply was introduced to the city and suburbs. Seems that it should be a name that should be in greater circulation. Even in Ulysses, he's only mentioned in passing, but Leopold Bloom is carrying around a copy of the Freeman's Journal all day in his pocket. And the Freeman's Journal is referenced pretty frequently throughout the book. As for Sir John Gray, he doesn't really get a look in, so you get the feeling that maybe Joyce was not a fan of this character, his mom. I mean, as for all of these statues, just looking at them, they don't really inspire. I think that's the problem with these statues in contemporary life. And then the great liberator, Daniel O'Connell.
Mm-hmm.
The huge cloaked liberator's form is how he's referred to in Ulysses.
Because it's really immense, isn't it? Like, that's a chunky statue.
Yeah, it's huge.
I find those kind of particular scale of statue quite interesting, because when you're far away from it, it doesn't look so large. And when you get close to it, you can't really see what's going on in it. It's a bit squat, and it doesn't reach up into the sky like the spire, which we just sort of ignored on our way down. Because the spire is like a contemporary version of what public statuary should be like.
I agree. I love the spire. I think it's an excellent example of contemporary statuism or monument. I think it's really interesting looking and unique, and it really represents a moment in time.
Yeah. What moment?
The time when everyone had too much money.
I mean, is it like a folly then, I suppose?
Well, I actually think it's a nice looking statue. I mean, I know a lot of people don't like it, but I think it can be seen as representing that moneyed time. But actually, it costs very little, and I think it was a good use of public money. It's a really excellent wayfinder.
Yeah. Well, that's very interesting, because in Ulysses we're talking about all these statues kind of providing a route that literary tourists and journalists can follow around the city. But of course they can also now, which he wouldn't have been able to do, orientate themselves by that huge spire.
And the scale of it is really great for Dublin, which is so low.
Yeah.
It really sticks out in a nice way, I think.
The funny thing, of course, is that we were complaining about the statues being a bit opaque, but the actual meaning of the spire is completely gone. You know, all those kind of socio-economic historical moments will become completely opaque. It won't represent any moment at all, because people will have no idea the difference between 2008 and 2020, I'm imagining. They do tell you about history, but it's much harder to decode what they're telling you.
Yeah, I guess they're more abstract. You maybe had to be a part of that time to fully understand what they mean. You and I will remember, you know, that time and know that that's a great representative of it, but the children of today won't.
Mm.
But maybe that's what makes these things stand a longer test of time, is that they're not, you know, totally tied to something, and they can be interpreted differently if necessary.
Mm.
Whereas these figures are very much one-dimensional.
Gallagher there talking to me as she assessed Dublin's public art in Bloom's footsteps. And don't forget, still time to tune in online through the RTE player or via Radio 1 Extra for the evening sections of The Complete Ulysses, dramatised by Drama on 1.